Well, welcome one and all to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and it's good to be in fellowship with you once again. We serve a marvelous God, dear ones, and what a privilege it is to know the truth in these last days of darkness and error. And praise God for giving us the ability to witness for Him, as well as to glorify His name. So welcome, one and all. And our opening song is There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And praise God for sending the early and the latter rain to indeed revive, convert, strengthen, and encourage each and every one of His people. Well, it's time for opening prayer, and please let us bow our heads and our knees. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for being a God that we can come to at any time of day or night and know that You hear and will attend to our requests and petitions and answer them according to Thy perfect will. Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus and we give You full control of this meeting. And please help each one of us to give You full control of our lives. Dear Savior, we pray that Thy presence will be here as well to lead and guide us into an understanding of Thy Word. Shine the bright beams of Your light and righteousness upon each heart. And dear Spirit, we plead that You will be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth, to reprove and correct us in all areas that we need correcting, that we might be 100% standing upon the truth and not have any error. And we thank you so much for helping us in this. Dear Savior, as the great physician, we pray that you'll be with all of those that need your help, your healing grace, whether mentally, physically, or spiritually. Thank you for being the balm of Gilead. And thank you so much for your love and compassion. And we thank you, dear Godhead, for being here. Thank you for allowing us to meet together once again. And thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings. Especially, Father, pour your Spirit upon us richly and abundantly. And open our hearts to receive him. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in our study book of Romans. And we're in chapter 12, verse 6. And last time we were discussing before we ended, where Paul brings up that there are many different parts to the body of Christ, many different people, but each one of those that make up the body of Christ have their own individual responsibilities that they need to lean upon the Lord as their head, as their leader and general. Directions and grace in order to follow his will and fulfill or uphold their duty of responsibility. But even though we're individuals and we have a job in which no one else but us can fulfill, yet every one of the members of the body of Christ, every individual are members one of another. That means we have an interest in one another. So the idea of being isolated unto ourselves, being independent from all the rest of the followers of Christ, is against the gospel of salvation. Christ is our head. Every part of the physical body responds to the directions of the brain. Thus, every member of the gospel church responds to their head, which is Christ. And if we decide to go according to our own ideas, without regard to the body, without regard to other brothers and sisters in the faith, and without regard to Christ's will, then we're no longer functioning as a body part should. And that causes all kinds of problems. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So what are the types of gifts that God gives to his church? That God gives to the individual members of his body who are members one of another. In other words, their gifts are to benefit one another. One is prophecy. Another is faith. Another is ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. Did you recognize that giving of yourself, giving of your money, giving of your possessions, giving of your time was a gift from God? Another is ruling. That means there's leaders. So a gift of being a leader, one that ruleth well, is from God. How about mercy? That's another gift. Did you recognize that when you're merciful, it's a gift from God? Question that says, what exactly is this proportion of faith? A proportion is an amount from the whole. So if there's a piece of pie in front of you, you get a particular proportion of that pie as a gift. It may be a small sliver, it may be half the pie. So according to the amount of faith that God has graced us with, then we would be able to manifest that faith. We would be able to exemplify that faith. And in this particular instance on prophecy, we would be able to prophesy, amen, to share what God has opened our minds to understand. So when someone receives a vision from God, that takes a lot of faith to be able to share that vision. It takes a lot of faith to understand that it came from God. But God has also given us His word that we can test all things. So we just don't run out and start sharing what we believe God has given us because we have faith in it. We must test the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. And that includes the work of the Spirit upon our hearts. We're to test it according to God's word. If it is indeed the Holy Spirit, it will be in accordance with God's word. It will never deviate or contradict the word of inspiration. It will always be in harmony. If it's the false spirit pretending to be the Holy Spirit, then we will find contradictions. So the proportion of faith is the amount that God has given you. And of course, that amount is not fixed, meaning it can never increase. But it's according to what you have at that time. And as you use it, it will grow. But all of these are gifts, and these aren't the only gifts that God gives. But it goes to show us that showing mercy is a gift. And all of these gifts deal with benefiting other parts of the body, bringing a harmony, welfare to all our brothers and sisters in the faith. Continuing. Let love be without dissimulation. So love is to be spread abroad. It's not to be kept for just a special few. It's to be for all parts of the body, meaning all of our brothers and sisters. continuing, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love or sisterly love, in honor preferring one another. So here we have other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, other members that we are members of. And as they are connected with Christ, and we are connected with Christ, then our love for them will be the same, because we're all in Christ. We're all part of His body. So then we're to be kindly one to another, but more than just kind, because the next word is affection. So it's more than just the common courtesy that we give to people on the street. This is to be an affectionate kindness, because we're more to one another than just strangers on the street. We're members one of another, because we're connected with Christ. So we're to have a kind, brotherly, or sisterly affection one to another. Now, this is not a sinful affection or a fleshly affection. This is not tainted with the worldly idea of affection. This is a godly affection. And that's why you see in the room sometimes that we give hugs to one another. That is a kindly, godly affection. More than we would do to some stranger on the street, because we are members one of another in Christ. So this kindly affection is to be with brotherly or sisterly love. Again, godly love, not selfish, sinful love. In honor, preferring one another. So then we're to honor one another, and this honor is to be more than how we honor ourselves. Because it says that this honor leads us to prefer one another. To prefer means to set them above. So in honor for them being our fellow members in Christ, we're to prefer them above us. When you meet a stranger on the street and you both come to the door at the same time, if you open the door and let them go ahead of you, you are preferring them above you. In a greater way, as members of Christ and of one another, we're to consider it an honor to let the other members go ahead of us. That's manifesting true kindly affection and love. So if you see someone putting themselves ahead of others, then that's not the true godly form of love. That's not true kindly affection one to another. That's just the opposite. Comment in the room that says, that is how it should be, but it isn't. Or, but is it? And that's true. What we see brought forth here is the goal. That's what we're to live up to. Paul is relating the standard of righteousness. that we're to try and achieve in all of our interactions one with another. So we're to abhor that which is evil. Selfishness is evil. We're to abhor it, not to give in to it. We're to cleave to that which is good and thus uncleave or separate from that which is bad. To be kindly affectioned with brotherly or sisterly love to one another, because we are members of one family. Not many different kinds of family, but one family. And as such, it is an honor to let our fellow members go ahead of us. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So whatever we put our hand to do, we're to do it with all our might, not being lazy or slothful, but to be about our business, especially in the Lord's work. We're also to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're not to be wishy-washy, but fervent. We're not to be half-hearted, but earnest, because we serve the Lord. So we can serve the Lord in all kinds of different capacities, all kinds of different work, whether we're doing housework, whether we're doing yard work, whether we're doing work on the job, work for the Lord. Whatever we're doing, we're to be fervent, earnest, because we serve the Lord and we want to give him the best possible outcome, the best possible offering. Not an offering that's blemished or defective or maimed, crippled, or even dead. We want to give him an offering that is as perfect as we're able to give him. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, not doubt, patient in tribulation, not complaining, continuing instant in prayer. That means being in an attitude of prayer throughout the day. So this shows us that you don't have to get on your knees and pray before God hears you. You can be keeping that line of communication open to God while you're driving down the road. Obviously, your eyes are open, not closed. You can be keeping that channel of communication open to God while you're doing the housework, while you're doing your chores, while you're at your job. Whatever you're doing, you can be in an attitude of prayer. Lord, help me to do this. Lord, help me to spot ways that I can be better at what I'm doing. And if we're constantly in an attitude of prayer, then the door of temptation to the devil is effectively closed. So we're to rejoice in hope. We're to be patient in tribulation. And if we're patient, then we are much more able to grow in grace and overcome that tribulation through Christ, which strengthens us. We're more able to hear the Spirit speaking to us in that still small voice, telling us this is what you should do and this is what you should avoid. When we're impatient, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to hear a still small voice because your emotions are making everything so much louder. So again, this is the standard of righteousness that we're to strive for, because we're all members one of another, part of the body of Christ. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. That's one of the gifts. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So distributing to the necessity of saints, that means if we know those among us are in need, then we're to try and help them from our abundance. In honor, putting their interests above our own, preferring them. Continuing, verse 13. Given to hospitality. That means opening your home and allowing the saints to dwell with you. Helping them on their way. Being able to share the gospel and to receive benefits from their companionship with you. If you didn't let them stay with you, then you would miss the blessing that they could have given you by being there. So may we recognize more than we ever have before that we are indeed members one of another, and thus we're more than just friends. We're family. We're more than just individuals who believe the same truth. We are brothers and sisters. And may we indeed treat one another with a godly love, true brotherly or sisterly affection. Because we are all part of Christ. And this is my prayer. There's another comment in the room. It says, some people on the street treat you better than your own church family. And sadly, that's true. There were 12 different disciples, just as there are 12 different major differences in personalities, in characteristics between people. And some of the different personalities get along tremendously well, but others rub each other the wrong way. It's the same with brothers and sisters in the same family. There's going to be times in which there are fights. There's going to be times in which you don't get along. But when we recognize that when we hurt one another because we are exalting ourselves, that we're really hurting ourselves because we're members one of another, then it's going to cause us to think twice before we allow that angry word to escape, or before we do something that we know is going to adversely affect or negatively affect one another. And instead of trying to exalt ourselves over others, we will come to their rescue. We will, in other words, exalt them above us, being their minister, ministering on them, ministering for them, preferring them. All that takes time. So there were 12 different disciples. They all had their different strengths and weaknesses. There were 12 different tribes of Israel. They all had their strengths and weaknesses. There's 12 gates that we enter in through the kingdom of heaven. That means what whatever weaknesses we have in our particular type of personality or character, these will have been overcome through the grace and the strength of our Savior working in us, making our weak points strong. In other words, overcoming them. Those who haven't overcome their sins will never make it into heaven. They'll never be able to walk through one of those 12 gates because they haven't overcome. And only overcomers will be allowed salvation in the kingdom of God. So there's going to be fights, there's going to be problems, there's going to be times in which we rile one another. But instead of using these arguments, using these differences as a jumping point to leave them or to separate from them, let us instead recognize that we're members one of another. We're all part of the same family. We all serve our Savior, Jesus Christ, and as He's our head, and as Christ never separates His people from one another, but only unites them together so that the body functions properly, may we allow Christ to rule in our hearts, to indeed be our mind. And thus, whatever problems we have will be able to be worked out. Whatever fights we have will be able to be solved. Whatever hurt we've experienced or perhaps caused will be able to be healed. Because Christ is our head. And if we allow Him to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, then that's the only possible outcome that will occur. Any other outcome but that shows that we're not led by Christ. We're told in Testimony to Ministers, I forget the page, I think it's 119, but anyway, in Testimony to Ministers, we're told that 5 minutes, not 5 hours, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, 5 minutes is sufficient amount of time to solve any problem among God's people if both hearts are led, guided, and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just 5 minutes is enough time to work out any problem if all hearts are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What a joy that would be, dear ones, if all our problems could be solved in 5 minutes. And because they're not solved in 5 minutes, then that shows that one or more are not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just relating facts of truth. May God help us to always be under the guidance and leadership of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God our Father, that we may truly be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly or sisterly love, preferring one another. And amen. We need to love them and pray for them, and then leave them in God's hands after we have witnessed to them and talked to them. And that's true. Sometimes, I mean, you can't force individuals to follow God's will. You can only encourage them. You can only try to lead them to understand. You can reprove and rebuke them as long as it's done in the Spirit of Christ. Sometimes that's the only way to wake them up. And amen, it's not just how we treat one another, but also how we speak.
Can we humble ourselves and we pray? Lord of heaven, we thank you for the wonderful message that has been presented before us. We are in your hands to follow it. Lord, we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to come always and be our master, guide, and teacher. Whatever I want to do. Lord, you know we have so much of it to one another. But may you strengthen our brotherhood in Jesus' name. Loving Father, we thank you that we have been revealed with this message of mercy in these last days. We pray that you help us stand by it to be an example with the brother of among ourselves, that the world may comprehend that you love us and you are the God working among us. We also, in a simple way, bring our petition before you. Lord, we request that you answer them according to your own will, so that you may use it according to your own glory. Lord of heaven, in this scenario, you put this work in your own hands. Lord, do it yourself, that you may only accomplish it as instruments being in your vineyard. Loving Father, we thank you for this wonderful mechanism that we are able to share this glad message that is to save us. Lord, we ask you hold our families as a Christian families in this world. Lord, hold us as Christians, as sisters and brothers in faith, that when Christ comes, you indeed be found true followers of him, waiting to praise him forever and ever. And especially we pray for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, that our names may be written in the books of life if they are not there. And if they are there, let them be broadened, that when Christ comes, they will find the eternal stars on this earth. But we want many things from you, but Lord, you know what to give us for your only glory. We pray that it may be given in Jesus' name, that we may use it for your only glory. Lord, give us whatever we not mentioned, but you see it fit. We pray all this.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for adopting us as your children in Christ Jesus. And thank you, dear Savior, for allowing us to be part of your body. I pray, dear Savior, that you will help us to comprehend in a greater way this relationship we have with you as well as with one another. Please forgive us for not recognizing this union and being much more compassionate and loving and affectionate one to another as we should have. Please help us to continue to grow in grace. Help us to recognize the gifts that you have given us, and help us with your grace and strength to indeed fulfill the responsibilities that you've given us and thus bring a greater harmony and welfare to your body. Help us to avoid all that is evil, to cleave to all that is good, and help us to serve you with all our heart and to give you a much more perfect offering instead of the unsatisfactory offerings that we have brought you. Help us to be instant in prayer, to be patient under abuse, to rejoice in hope and trust and faith, knowing that you're in control and that you will never leave us. Help us to have a greater interest in the welfare of one another. And thank you so much for coming soon and taking us off of this wicked world. Please continue to heal those that require healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, and continue to help us to grow in grace each day and become more mature men, women, and children in Jesus Christ. Please be with us now as we part and bring us safely back together again for another rich and beneficial fellowship in the name of our Savior. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Savior and Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Scripture song comes to mind. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? Please go right ahead. And amen. Text was put in the room here. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Amen indeed. So what we've been through enables us to empathize and to sympathize as well as to help others when we see them going through the same. And that may have been the very reason why God allowed us to go through it in the beginning, so that we could be a help, a comfort to others. So amen. Thank you for that. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday night and the Sabbath coming up. And please continue growing up into Christ. Being continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation. And rejoicing in hope. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The book of Psalms 34:7. And that's something to rejoice about. So may God bless, dear ones, until we meet again.